Welcome to On Deadline, a deep dive into a single topic from Odyssey's newsrooms across the country. I'm Christy Strausser, the managing editor of News for Odyssey, and today we're doing something unusual. We haven't covered cold cases in the On Deadline podcast, partially because there are so many of them in the United States. But the wrapping up of the yogurt shop murders deserves extra attention, so that's what we're diving into today. It's a story about dogged detectives, false confessions, an innocent man on death row, and a guilty one free, even after he was convicted of shooting a woman in the head. It's a story about families in a sweet, formerly innocent small town who refused to give up. They said over and over they didn't want vengeance. They wanted the responsible person to be known. And it turns out that solving this case may lead to the solving of many more. Here's the background of what happened this week from KRLD News in Dallas.
Following the latest out of Austin, where police are speaking out about how they were able to break a 30-year-old cold case that haunted the city. KRLD's Chris Fox has the update to the yogurt shop murders.
Austin Police Detective Dan Jackson took over the cold case in 2022, resubmitting to databases ballistic evidence from a spent shell casing and trace DNA from under one of the victim's fingernails. On August 22nd, the newly submitted DNA got a hit.
And it was from a sexual assault and murder from 1990 out of Greenville, South Carolina. This was the profile that they had, Robert Eugene Brashers. He is a perfect 27 for 27 match.
A serial rapist and murderer who took his own life in 1999. The families of the victims spoke. Barbara Wilson is the mother of Jennifer and Sarah Harbison.
But I really just came to say thank you for the Austin Police Department and all the love and support that you have given us over these 34 years.
For 34 years, the brutal killings of four Austin teenagers, Amy Ayers, Eliza Thomas, Sarah Harbison, and Jennifer Harbison at an I Can't Believe It's Not yogurt shop, have cast a shadow over the city. Monday, Austin police announced a significant breakthrough in the December 1991 murders that happened when the girls were closing up the shop for the night. A match was found between the only physical evidence at the scene and Robert Eugene Brashers, who died by suicide in 1999. The road to get here was by no means linear. Note the convictions of two other men, Robert Springsteen and Michael Scott, teenagers at the time of the murders. They initially confessed, implicating each other. Springsteen was on death row for the killing, and Scott was serving life, until both of their convictions that were overturned. A third man in this group, Maurice Pierce, was openly called a suspect by police many times. But he refused to confess like his friends had, and he ended up being shot and killed by Austin police in 2010 during a traffic stop. After shooting a woman in Port St. Lucie in 1985, Brashers was convicted and sentenced to 12 years. However, he was released on parole in 1989 after serving just 3 to 4 years. "I'm sorry it took us 34 years to get here," lead investigator Detective Dan Jackson admitted. "But we're here now."
On August 22nd, they sent me the information, and it was from a sexual assault and murder from 1990 out of Greenville, South Carolina. And this was the profile that they had, Robert Eugene Brashers. He is a perfect 27 for 27 match to our unknown profile in yogurt shop.
Jackson outlined how ballistics and cutting-edge DNA testing finally linked the cold case to Brashers, a man with a history of sexual assault, using multiple weapons, and tying his victims. The key breaks came from connecting the pistol shell casing to another cold case in Kentucky via the NIBIN database and using an advanced YSTR DNA profile in 2018 to link Brashers to a similar crime in South Carolina. Brashers wasn't on investigators' radar until the match. In fact, he was a convict who, after DNA returned, police discovered that less than 2 days after the murders, Brashers was documented fleeing through El Paso with a stolen car and a pistol matching the murder weapon's make and model. Here's more.
And he said, your victims, were they bound with their own clothing? And the hair stood on the back of my neck. And I knew we were maybe getting somewhere finally with this case. They were able to get quite a bit of STR DNA out of Amy's fingernail clippings, and it was directly compared to Brashers' profile, and it matched so that it's 2.5 million to 1 that it's likely Robert Brashers underneath Amy's fingernails than it is to an unknown individual.
Amy's
final moments on this earth were to solve this case for us because of her fighting back.
Austin Police Chief Lisa Davis called the murders one of the most devastating and haunting cases in the city's history. And members of the family were at the press conference to discuss the closure it gave them to finally have a killer. Note that when the young men, teens, were convicted a decade ago, members of the victim's family weren't celebrating. They were wrecked, crying over a death sentence and saying they didn't want blood on their own hands, too.
On behalf of the families and on behalf of the people of this city and those that care about justice, thank you to those who have brought us to this point. The pain from that night and its aftermath will never go away. But with the knowledge we have now, we can share some peace. God bless Amy, Jennifer, Sarah, and Eliza. They will always be a part of our city's identity. God bless their families, and God bless Austin.
But let's not forget about the other victims, the ones tested for DNA that created the link between Brashers and the yogurt shop victims. Police said Brashers was the person responsible for sexually assaulting and killing Genevieve Jenny Zetricki, a 28-year-old, who was found dead in April 1990 at her Hidden Lakes apartment in Greenville. Police said Brashers broke in through a back door. A maintenance man found Zetricki's body in her bathtub days after she was killed. The coroner determined she died from strangulation and blunt force injuries to her head and face. Investigators later learned Zetricki had also been sexually assaulted. We never had a positive ID on him, and so we used the genealogy approach to try and build a family tree, which ultimately led to his identification, former Greenville Police Chief Ken Miller said to WYFF News 4. When Austin's Detective Jackson began working with investigators nationwide, he connected with investigators in South Carolina who told him they had a profile match between his case and the 1990 murder in Greenville. Miller said his department, with cooperation from Brasher's family, paid to exhume his body in Arkansas in 2018. A piece of Brasher's pinky and a tooth were taken out for comparison. The DNA from that exhumation matched a profile that investigators had created following Zetricki's death. Why was she targeted? Police said it's still unknown, but Fox Carolina reported in 2018 that her apartment was in close proximity to the community pool. Police said people would often congregate in the pool, and Zetricki allowed many poolgoers to use her bathroom. Her outgoing personality may have played a role in her being targeted, police believe. Sergeant Tim Conroy with Greenville Police stated, "I believe that she was targeted that way since she was so outgoing. I don't think it was a random act that he just went into that apartment. He knew who was in that apartment when he entered. So no, I believe she was targeted." Here's Tara Servatius from WORD Radio with more on the Greenville case.
Lee, I think this is just absolutely fascinating what has happened here. 2018, this is on another story, Greenville. Then Police Chief Ken Miller decides to spend a few thousand dollars to exhume a body. The body is that of Robert Bashirs, the chief suspect in the famous, if you live in Greenville and if you've been here for a while, Jennifer Zetricki murder. And they're out of DNA. They need more. So Chief Miller hauls up this guy's corpse. They take his part of his pinky finger and his tooth. So now they've got the DNA to see what, you know, was this the guy that did it? It was just a brutal rape and murder in Greenville in 1990. And again, very famous if you live here, went unsolved. Very scary to think the guy was still out there. So they have a genetic profile. They believe Robert Eugene Preshears is the guy. And they built that through Ancestry Family Record, like those, the public database now. Yeah. That stuff was never supposed to be public, but some of it is.
Yeah.
And police are beginning to use it. So if you commit a crime or if somebody in your family has donated DNA because they wanted to know their family tree,
yeah,
it could even, listen to this, be like a second cousin or a third cousin, and they can track back the profile because it's similar enough. That is absolutely wild. Mm-hmm. So they built a profile, and it looked like it pointed to Robert Eugene Breshears. Breshears killed himself. Well, he died in a police shootout. It was basically one of these suicide by cops type deals. But he did end up shooting himself. Long story. Anyway, they believe it's him. They exhume him. And sure enough, it's him. It confirms the profile. So they go ahead and file that DNA. Chief Miller encourages other police departments around the country. Hey, look, check this out. So, you know, see if this guy has done this before. Almost immediately, Chief Miller realizes he's got a serial killer on his hands. They tied him to a second case in Missouri, the murder of a mom who was 37 and her 12-year-old daughter who were kidnapped together. It's an absolutely horrific case. So then we realize all of a sudden, not only have we finally solved the Jennifer Zetricky case, we've also solved this other case, and we know that he is a serial killer. But then it gets crazy because and my husband and I are true crime buffs, so we watch a lot of true crime stuff. One of the most famous cases, unsolved mass murder cases, the murder of four girls simultaneously, Austin, Texas, 1991, in the I Can't Believe It's Yogurt shop killings in Austin, Lee. One of these girls was working there. Her friends wanted her to hurry up so they could all go out. So they came in and help her go through closing, you know, do all her closing duties so she could do it faster. Somebody comes in. They end up with their hands tied, with their underwear, mouths gagged, all shot in the head. Brutal, brutal, brutal murder. And everybody is interested in this because, like, how does one killer or maybe more than one killer control that many people? But he does. Well, over the weekend, an incredible thing happened. The Austin Forensic Science Department said DNA from Greenville, from Chief Ken Miller exhuming that body, was a positive match. It's the same guy, Robert Breshears, who rolled through Greenville at one point and killed at least one that we know of. Now, here's what's wild about the power of this. No one had ever connected Robert Breshears to the Austin murders, to the yogurt shop murders. He was never a suspect. He was never on the radar. Nobody even knew he went through there. In fact, two other men were sent to prison, Lee, one of them for 10 years for that murder.
Yeah, that's troubling.
It is. What's fascinating about it, I just watched a big, long documentary on it, was that there's a certain subset of people who will commit, who will confess to a murder they did not commit.
Yeah, that's...
And he did. He confessed to it. He did not commit it. But he confessed to it. So did another guy. In fact, they had half a dozen people who'd confessed to those murders by the time they did it, but they decided to focus on two of them and put them in prison. Turns out they had the wrong guy. That's weird, isn't it?
Yes, that's very strange. I don't understand why someone would admit to a crime that they didn't commit. I can understand why people deny the crimes they did commit.
But, yeah, that makes sense.
But admitting to a crime you didn't commit.
It's a bit wild. Yeah. So former police chief Ken Miller not only solved the Jenny Zetricky crime, but actually might have hit upon one of the greatest serial killers of his generation, because almost immediately it's like popcorn, boom, 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 boom. They're finding all these other women he murdered all over the country. And it's crazy. There's a case in Tennessee, a case in Georgia, a case in Florida, a case here in Greenville, the case in Austin.
Additionally, in 1986, Breshears was convicted of beating and shooting a woman in Port St. Lucia, Florida. For that crime, he was sentenced to 12 years in prison and served 2.5 years. He was released in 1989. In 1991, the yogurt shop girls were brutally attacked, raped, killed, and burned. Police had dozens of suspects initially, but Breshears was nowhere on their radar. They say now they don't know what he was doing in Austin at the time, but 2 days after the murder, he was stopped nearby at the El Paso border, where he had a gun in his possession. He was also driving a stolen car. He said he was on his way to visit his dad in Georgia. He was charged with auto theft and later released. The gun, police later discovered, would be linked to casings from the scene of the yogurt shop murder. Breshears was arrested in 1992 in Cobb County, Georgia, for possession of a stolen pistol and vehicle. He was sentenced to prison and released in February 1997. After he was released, he went on to kill and destroy more women. In March 1997, Brashers sexually assaulted a 14-year-old female visiting friends at a home in Tennessee, Miller said. In March 1998, Brashers brutally murdered Sherry Scherer, 37, and her daughter, Megan, 12, in Portageville, Missouri. Miller said Brashers shot them both multiple times, and Megan was sexually assaulted. Police said 2 hours later and 40 miles away on the same day, Brashers also tried to kill a woman in Dyersburg, Tennessee. Police said the woman fought with the attacker and he shot her through the door of her mobile home, but she survived. And months later, in 1999, Brashers took his own life in a standoff with police.
And Chief Miller last night was on WYFF saying to police departments, if you've got unsolved murders, run them against the Brashear DNA. See if this is your guy. Because he thinks there's a lot more.
You know, that sounds like something that artificial intelligence would be very good at. If you could somehow input that data in there and then, you know, have the cold cases and have the DNA of known criminals there, that would be very interesting to see how many could be at least assisted by artificial intelligence.
And we already have the national database. There's a lot of DNA in it. The problem is that it's not complete. There's a lot of particularly smaller jurisdictions that don't have the technology to have uploaded all of that. And so they're the ones probably with cases out there that they just haven't hit on it because they haven't either tested the DNA, tested the rape kit, because this guy was a rapist too, or they haven't uploaded it. It's not a complete database. And that's why he's saying, hey, if you've got these cold cases, like if you've got a DNA profile, run them against this. Because you're talking Missouri, Tennessee, South Carolina, here in Greenville, Austin, Texas. This guy was making a loop around the country, Florida, killing women, raping and killing women, and then moving on.
I'm just glad that the serial ended here.
Yeah, and it did end in 1999, we know, because shootout with the police, and he thankfully ended his life, putting a lot of the rest of us out of misery along with him. So that's good news. But this kind of goes along with what I've been seeing, and I really think even just this year we're hitting critical mass as a nation, where I just don't think killing people in a serial fashion is going to be possible anymore. Between Ring cameras, video cameras, which all businesses pretty much have now.
Cell phone data.
Liability, cell phone. Yep,
save that'll put you in the GPS on that will put you in the area. So, I guess unless you are completely off the grid, doing something out in complete wide open with no cell phone coverage and don't have a phone on you, you might be able to get away with it. But then, anyway.
Well, and that's what's interesting. Alec Murdaugh really was a groundbreaking case here in South Carolina because they shattered his alibi with the data from his car.
To show he
couldn't have been where he was given the speed he was driving.
Right.
Yeah. And it recorded all of it. He probably didn't even think about it.
Yeah. No.
So it's kind of fascinating. And you look at Brian Koberger, same thing with that murder case too. He had the cell phone data. So, I mean, you've got to leave your cell phone. If you want to commit murder, you've got to leave your cell phone at home. You've got to buy a car that's like, 2010. You got to make sure no one knows you bought it. You can't buy it from a dealership. Got to keep the license plate off of it to avoid the video camera. And then, Lee, when you commit the crime, you cannot leave one iota of DNA at the scene.
Exactly.
It's almost impossible to do that, which is why I've been arguing. I think serial killing's obsolete. Now, you know what's scary about this? That's the good news. What's scary about this is that in China, all of the video feeds into one central location. So they just hit rewind and go get you. You can't do anything there, which is good criminally, but really bad politically. Whereas here, you still have to go door to door to door and ask people for the video. If they won't give it up, you have to go to court to get it. It's not centrally located. But the technology works the same, and they will get you.
And while Tara thinks serial killing won't be able to happen in the future, here's more on cold cases that continue to be investigated. On September 6th, 1974, Betty Ann New was stabbed to death in a field outside the city of Alachua in Florida. This month marked the 51st anniversary of the death of Betty Ann New, who was found near train tracks, sexually assaulted and murdered. Detectives still hope someone will come forward with information that could help them solve the case. In a short clip on Facebook, police stated they had at least one item from the crime scene that they believe was dropped by a suspect. With advances in DNA technology, detectives are hoping that this might lead them to a suspect and an eventual arrest. The evidence is currently being processed. Here's the Bob Rose Show.
With our next guest, Lisa Sicacio from the Alachua County Sheriff's Office. But we've got cases from like 50 years ago. We still got to figure out, let alone what happened yesterday. Tell me about Betty Ann.
So Betty Ann New, this is one of our oldest cold cases at our agency. It is 51 years old. The anniversary of her death was actually this past weekend. So September 5th, 1974, Betty Ann New's body was found just near Lake Burnett in Alachua, right off of Lake Burnett Boulevard. She was last seen a few days prior. And like all of our cold cases, this is something that is still being investigated. And I know a lot of people, when you say that, they're like, well, what does that actually mean? Well, it means throughout these past 51 years, and like I said, all of our cold cases, you have detectives that either move the divisions, they pass away, or they retire, whatever the case may be, and other people take it over. That case gets passed down, and the new detectives will read it all, go through it all in detail, see if there's any new leads. They'll re-interview people to see if they can get anything. And the biggest takeaway is now testing physical evidence for DNA.
That you didn't have in 1974.
Correct. And in this case, what's really interesting is that they were able to find something. The cold case investigator that took it over found something going through it that the suspect dropped from at the crime scene and is now getting tested in the lab to see if we can get something off of that. And I would just encourage anyone, whether it's Betty Ann News case or if it's another cold case that we have, which you can go on our website and search cold cases. If you have just, whether it's a thought or anything that you think is like, oh, I don't know if this is significant, I promise you, we will 1,000% take it seriously. Reach out to us at the sheriff's office, our cold case investigator, Todd Hand, or if you want to be anonymous, you can actually contact Alachua County Crime Stoppers, and we will take that tip and run with it. That way we can put a close to these cases and people can be held accountable.
Absolutely. And you might get some people who are of advanced age and they're like, yeah, I don't want to, you know, hold this anymore. I'm going to give information might implicate somebody that they knew or cared about. But, you know, it gives them a chance to kind of clean the slate for themselves personally, maybe a burden they've been carrying around with the information.
Thank you for listening to On Deadline. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.